Turn with me in your Bibles, please, to Job chapter 21 for our Old Testament reading. Job chapter 21, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired Word of God. But Job answered and said, "Hear diligently my speech, and let this be your consolation. Suffer me that I may speak, and after that I have spoken, mock on. As for me, is my complaint to man? And if it were so, why should not my spirit be troubled? Mark me, and be astonished, and lay your hand upon your mouth. Even when I remember, I am afraid, and trembling taketh hold on my flesh. Wherefore do the wicked live, become old, yea, are mighty in power? Their seed is established in their sight with them, and their offspring before their eyes. Their houses are safe from fear, neither is the rod of God upon them. Their bull gendereth and faileth not, their cow calveth and casteth not her calf. They send forth their little ones like a flock, and their children dance. They take the timbrel and harp, and rejoice at the sound of the organ. They spend their days in wealth, and in a moment go down to the grave. Therefore they say unto God, Depart from us, for we desire not the knowledge of thy ways. What is the Almighty, that we should serve him? And what profit should we have, if we pray unto him? Excuse me. Lo, their good is not in their hand. The counsel of the wicked is far from me. How oft is the candle of the wicked put out, and how oft cometh their destruction upon them? God distributeth sorrows in his anger. They are as stubble before the wind, and as chaff that the storm carrieth away. God layeth up his iniquity for his children. He rewardeth him, and he shall know it. His eyes shall see his destruction, and he shall drink of the wrath of the Almighty. For what pleasure hath he in his house after him, when the number of his months is cut off in the midst? Shall any teach God knowledge, seeing he judgeth those that are high? One dieth in his full strength, being wholly at ease and quiet. His breasts are full of milk, and his bones are moistened with marrow. And another dieth in the bitterness of his soul, and never eateth with pleasure. They shall lie down alike in the dust, and the worms shall cover them. Behold, I know your thoughts, and the devices which ye wrongfully imagine against me. For ye say, Where is the house of the prince, and where are the dwelling places of the wicked? Have ye not asked them that go by the way? And do ye not know their tokens, that the wicked is reserved to the day of destruction? They shall be brought forth to the day of wrath. Who shall declare his way to his face? And who shall repay him what he hath done? Yet shall he be brought to the grave, and shall remain in the tomb. The clods of the valley shall be sweet unto him, and every man shall draw after him, as there are innumerable before him. How then comfort ye me in vain, seeing your answers, in your answers there remaineth falsehood?" May God add his blessing to the reading and to the hearing of his most holy word. Well, we kind of have to jump in context here, because what we're seeing is Job is once again answering. Now, this time he's answering Zophar. In the afternoon service, then Eliphaz will take up one more time. And this will be Eliphaz's third tour. And then after Eliphaz, Bildad will take up. And then Job will go for an extended parable. But we have here in this passage, Job answering Zophar one more time. And what the argumentation has been up to this point is, well, Job, look at yourself. You're a wreck. You're a mess. The Lord has squished you like a bug, if I can put it colloquially. He has afflicted you. Look at you. You're covered with boils. You've lost all your stuff. Everything is taken away, including your health. Your wife curses you. Everybody curses you. You're left alone. We've come to you and we've said, Job, this is because you're a hypocrite and you've maintained sinfully your integrity. Don't you know, Job, wicked people suffer and righteous people don't. That's the thesis. And so this is the first time now in chapter 21 that Job directly addresses that thesis. He takes it head on. So, first of all, in verses 1 through 6, he answers them according to their folly by telling them, I'm going to say my piece, and you ought to take consolation from it. But what I anticipate you'll do is continue your mocking. It should be your consolation, but I anticipate that it will be your mocking. You will continue to mock. I've maintained my integrity throughout our entire conversation, and you have maintained your accusation against me. What you ought to have done is taken consolation from my speech. So then, he goes on, and in verses 7 through 16, he says, haven't you ever noticed? Haven't you ever seen it? That there are wicked men in the world that live on and they go to their grave in peace? Haven't you ever seen that? What, were you born yesterday? It is true that wicked folks do prosper in this life. They go on, and sometimes they go on all the way until the ends of their lives, and they die happy. And they go to their grave in peace, and no one makes them afraid. And then he goes on in the second half of the chapter, beginning in verse 17, and he begins that one by how oft is the candle of the wicked put out. So he says, both things happen to the wicked. What you have done is you have reasoned from providence back to my wickedness, and that's an erroneous procedure. You have spoken falsehood. You've said to me, Job, you must be a wicked sinner. Look at what's been done to you. I think I told you it was last week or the week before that we went to church in an evangelical church a long, long time ago with a lady that used to be in a charismatic church. And when it was found that she had a brain tumor, she was examined by a doctor and they said, you have a brain tumor, and they were going to operate and remove that brain tumor. One of her old friends from the charismatic church called her up and said, you must be some kind of wicked sinner to have a brain tumor. Well, let's just kick people while they're down then. This is exactly what Eliphaz, Bildad, and Zophar have done to Job. They've come upon him at a time of great difficulty, trial, and stress. A couple of chapters back, you remember what Job said. He said, miserable comforters are y'all. So now he addresses their arguments and he says, don't you see? Haven't you seen it? That the wicked sometimes go to the grave in peace. And sometimes they don't. It's not universal, as you say. You can't read providence from calamity to sinfulness. Brothers and sisters, once we start to do that, what are we going to say about our Lord Jesus Christ? What are we going to say about the judgment that fell upon him? What about the apostles? What about the apostle Paul? We're going to look today, Lord willing, about walking through the valley of the shadow of death. We're going to take a look at a few of the apostle Paul's statements. Did Paul walk through the valley of the shadow of death because he was wicked? I don't think so. I don't think we can reason that way, and yet it is our temptation to do so. And as we've said before, let's say it again. There is sometimes within our sinful selves a tendency to see someone suffering and say, you know, he kind of had it coming. Have you ever felt that way? Don't nod or shake your head. Just think. We're not looking for public confession here, but you know, think about that. Think whether or not you have said in your your heart of hearts, in your inner man, in that interior conversation, that dialogue that's going on. Well, you know, he was warned not to do that, and now he did. He's kind of getting what he deserves. Have you ever thought that? How wicked? Brothers and sisters, let me tell you, that's wicked thoughts. Those are wicked thoughts. Because God disposes with each how He pleases. And sometimes wicked people rise up and they become extremely prosperous. And sometimes God's people, those poor and afflicted who are calling upon His name, they have the smithereens knocked out of them all the time. We cannot read from people's outward circumstances and the providence that God brings upon them back to them being hypocrites or secretly wicked. We can't do it. What ought to happen and what should have happened with Bildad and with Zophar and with Eliphaz is their hearts should have been drawn out to Job's suffering. But instead, they stood like Pharisees before him with their waistlines pulled in and their chests stuck out. And they said to him, Job, if you'd not sinned like you have been, whatever it is, we don't know what it is. Oh, but you know. If you'd not done that. You see, these things would not have befallen you. God is judging you for your hypocrisy. So that is the gist of the passage. Job meets that head on and he says, haven't you seen it? Notice he says, it's really funny. He says, have you not asked them that go by the way? And do ye not know their tokens? That the wicked is reserved to the day of destruction. He says, there is a day of destruction that comes to the wicked, but it may not be in this life. It may be in the next life. So brothers and sisters, then what Job cautions them and us to do is to refuse to reason back from difficult providential or calamitous providential circumstances to wickedness in those who are so afflicted. Let's stand and continue praising God then in this